Mother's Day is always a challenging service for me. Now, I don't know about anyone else, but my mother badge is pretty dented and worn. I've thrown it away a few times and probably would have thrown the children with it. Having the boys in the house was one of the most wonderful and challenging and occasionally thankless tasks I ever went through. I was astounded at the wonderful human beings they turned out to be most of the time. The rest of the time, I'm just astounded. But I've never felt comfortable with the wondrous hallmarkness of Mother's Day. Because it doesn't look like the moments where I had to pull the hedgehog out of somebody's sock. Or when they drank the fifth of vodka and threw up. It doesn't look like standing in court waiting to sign foster papers and then adoption papers. It doesn't look like getting called a bitch at 3 a.m. because you wanted them to come in and they didn't want to. It doesn't look like all the times that I was scared, all the times that I rejoiced, all the times that I screwed up so badly that there was nothing else I could say except, "Oh, dear Lord. Sorry about that, God." So every year I go looking for a take on Mother's Day. And I put on my dented little badge for the son I adopted, for the ones I fostered, for the adult special needs that I worked with over the years. And this year I was flipping through some liturgical reading. And many of you have some familiarity with the Christian Bible, and you may know that in the New Testament, there's a huge gap. So we see what happened with Jesus of Nazareth at birth. We get the story of the star and the camels and the wise men. We hear a little bit about him teaching in the temple at 12 or 13. And then we got nothing up until he starts a ministry. In the 2nd century, some writers tried to fill that gap. And the most popular of these stories was the infancy gospel of Thomas. The book has never been considered canonical. This was basically Bible fan fiction written in the 2nd century. People wanted to know, tell us more about this Jesus person. And no one is positive who wrote this thing, but I can tell you right now, the writer was a parent. And how do I know that? Well, because according to the author, here's what Jesus did in a few months when he was about this tall. He was playing in a mud pile, making mud birds, and he brought them to life to scare the other kids and made them fly away, which scared the sandals off of the other children with him. And so another child literally took a stick and stirred Jesus' muppet. Now, this is our Lord and Savior we are talking about. Another kid took a stick and stirred Jesus' mud puddle, according to this writer. And Jesus caused him to fall down dead for stirring his mud puddle. When the child's parents showed up, and this is the actual wording, the child's parents went and found Joseph and said, "Guess what your child did?" And so he struck them blind. And then he laughed and revived the other kid and said, "Just kidding about that." He mouthed off to a teacher. His mother sent him with her water pitcher, her favorite water pitcher, to get water from the well. He was goofing around and hit another kid with it and broke it. So he performed a miracle and caused his robe to hold water and walked back to her carrying her water in his robe. Needless to say, he didn't fix her pitcher. Now, I don't know about your children or you as a child with your mother, but I do know if my John had been able to do miracles, I'm pretty sure his rap sheet would have resembled this pretty darn exactly. Motherhood doesn't come with an instruction booklet. So whether you're a mother or simply had a mother, there's no guidelines for this one, folks. You can read the books. They're lovely. About every 4 years, they totally disagree with one another. So for those of us who grew up in the 60s, 70s, and 80s with Dr. Spock, anybody remember Dr. Spock? Who had the Dr. Spock baby book? Admit it. I see hands. And today, opposite advice. Attachment parenting, free-range parenting, helicopter parenting. Mr. Rogers, mommy and me classes, mommy and me yoga. I guarantee you, in 1973, my mother wouldn't have done a mommy and me anything. We got a bologna sandwich and got told to come back in at dark. The leading thought changes every few years. There's no book. Your kid comes into the world naturally or through adoption or through fostering, and suddenly you're the expert on survival. That's a pretty scary thing. And for a lot of us, we remember all the times when our mom wasn't that expert. And for a lot of us, we remember the times when we weren't that expert. You're the expert, even if you're confused and frightened and unready and unwilling. The expert if you're mentally ill. You're the expert if you're physically ill. You're the expert if your own childhood stank so bad you never want to think about it. And suddenly you've got a little human. And motherhood is more than a status gained by the physical act of giving birth. It's more than the act of adopting or fostering or raising a child. I have never seen a Mother's Day card that is truly accurate and represents the full range of what it means to be a mother. I find some beautiful cards. They're upbeat and funny and inspirational. And there are some amazing moms out there where, darn it, it catches it really well. But a lot of the cards are perfect for a two-dimensional television mother. I could see June Cleaver or Carol Brady or even Claire Huxtable opening them. But not Roseanne Conner. Not me. There are a few cards which recognize the best mothers for being more than a mom. Cards that recognize that these incredible people also held down jobs and relationships and had hobbies and interests. There are few cards that say, I know there were times it cost you to be there for me as perfectly as you were. I know that you were human, and I love you all the more for how well you did this. Moms aren't saints. For the less perfect among us, there are no cards that say, thanks, Mom, for not killing me when I threw the SpaghettiOs on the beige rug. Thanks for not killing me when I set fire to your hardwood floor with that iron after you told me not to iron there. There are no cards which write poems about the car trips and the vaccines and the loads of laundry and the tears and the smells that went with middle school and the trips to school and sometimes trips to the police station, sometimes trips to the prison. For some mothers, trips to the morgue. There's no cards for that. There's no cards that say, man, I like you. I don't just love you, I like you. Thank you for being my friend, Mom. They don't talk about that. And there are no cards that say, I wish we liked each other, but I don't like you at all. You're not a blessing, you're a dire warning. Thank you for teaching me who I don't want to be. They don't make that card. I looked. There are no cards that say, I didn't think I would survive you. There are no cards that say, I didn't think you would survive me, and I'm so sorry. America has created this cult and image of the perfect mother, right? Some of you remember the commercial from the 70s. She can bring home the bacon, fry it up in a pan, never let you forget your, all that lovely stuff. And eventually she had kids and was the perfect mother as well as being the perfect wife. It's lovely, but most of us cannot superimpose that image on our own life or on the way our mother was with us. We're real. Nobody wakes up and thinks, how do I destroy my child today? Or at least almost nobody, I'm sure somewhere. Nobody wants to be a bad mom. Everybody pretty much wants to be the amazing mom. Mothering is about being present and absent and friendly and cold and raising a kid. Motherhood is about wondering what happened to the child they birthed and gave up. What works for one mother and child is a disaster for the next. And anyone who writes a book that guarantees that it will tell you how to be a good mother is a sociopathic liar. They have no clue. You do you. Mothers create another person through their presence and their absence and their words and their actions. But they don't own that creation. You can model ways to be in the world. You can allow your lack of modeling to speak for you, but you cannot control your child's way of being in the world. They are their own, for good or for bad. And the best we can hope is to hold up the best possible mirror and know that we tried our best. If we could have done better, we would have done better. And if our mothers could have done better, they would have done better. Mothers can be upgraded, but children are not backwards compatible. And that is not a bad thing. They're their own. If mothering is relational, though, this implies that it is designated and designed to change. Just like in our first reading, it develops over time. And that kind of change isn't always second nature. We hold on to what we remember. So if you grew up and your mother always was perfectly dressed and immaculately groomed, and as she ages, that starts to change, the relationship must change. If you grew up and your mother was cruel and cold, who is she now? Everything changes. You grew up with your child. Your child grew up with you. You used to tell them everything to do and what to wear and where to go. But everything changes. For all those mothers who remain in active relationship to us, changing and growing and recognizing our growth as well, we honor and recognize them. And we also honor and recognize the others. The mothers who make us feel as if we're still 13 when we call on the phone. Today I want to honor all of motherhood, the parts of the picture we always see in the center with a bright light, and the not-so-pretty parts that we hide around the edges, the mothers who have changed and the mothers who will never change. Mothers aren't angels, not guardian angels and not fallen angels. They're people. Which makes all that they manage to do that much more incredible. They screw it up, and they get it right, and they get it wrong, and they try again, and for years most of them are always tired. A friend of mine always says that motherhood is a life sentence with no chance of reprieve. For some of us, this is wondrous. For others, not so much. Mothers come in every gender and gender presentation. They come in ages from the youngest ever at 5 and a half to the oldest who is in her 70s. Some give birth, some adopt, and some just wander into the role casually and never step away again. Some mothers have kids that are perfect and wonderful. Some mothers who have kids, the kids are average and funny. Some mothers are average and funny and kind. Some mothers have kids who are dangerous and hateful and violent and addicted. Some mothers are dangerous and hateful and violent and addicted. Some mothers are amazing. Some mothers have amazing kids. Some mothers have kids who kill, and some mothers have kids who die. Some mothers die. Some mothers run away. Some should have. And for every mom who has been thrown up on for 3 straight days by 2 children under the age of 4, today we pray. For every mom who has worked extra shifts, gone back to school, took a job she hated, gave up on a job she loved, given up on a relationship she loved, all for the love of a child, we pray. For every mom who did her best, no matter how good it was, we pray. For every mom who got it perfect, but her kids had problems anyway, we pray. For even the worst mom who still got it right once or twice, even if only by accident, we pray. For every mom who sat through the measles and the chicken pox, through parent-teacher nights, through horrible construction projects, we pray. For those who prayed for peace and for those who prayed because they could never find peace, we pray. For all the ones who got it wrong, for all the ones who got it right, for the mothers and the others who loved us into being and did the absolute best they could, we pray. Happy Mother's Day to all the mothers everywhere. Amen.